Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Solid advice, Wendy. Always leave the gun, but take the cannoli.
I already took the cannoli.
And delicious.
I love cannoli more than anything in the world.
Dane Neal is with us from Access Appetite. Comes by every other Wednesday and shares the world of food with us. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Bill. Good to see you. Thank you, Wendy. Of course, I'm here also for the the Dane Neal Show on WGN
Plus. People know that.
Upcoming On the Road Show.
Right.
And then, of course, the other things as well. But not always am I here bearing gifts, maybe the fruit of, I think, the top level of evolution for humans when it comes to sweet treats and the making of them. And as we, we're with Punchki Day yesterday, mm-hmm. right? So many people enjoyed to whatever extent they could that and kind of just reveled in the tradition of it all. And so today we've got Ed Leza here from Leza Cannolis. Now, I'm not sure, Ed, is there a specific cannoli day where everyone feels obligated to get cannolis, or is that something that we all need to work on?
It's just every day. Every day with a cannoli keeps the doctor away.
So. Is that what they say, Ed? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Good, because I don't like apples.
Apples aren't around all year round because they grow on trees. Cannolis are around every year.
Yep.
All
the time. I wish every they grew on trees.
I grew it too.
Every day of the year. Go back in time with me a little bit. I know your specialty is cannolis, but you did pretty good for Punchki Day too,
yes,
didn't you?
We
did.
We sold about 5,000.
5,000?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Everything from Bavarian cream to the traditional apple with cinnamon. And we also did some high-end gourmet ones. We did a cannoli punchki with a mini cannoli on top.
Oh, my God.
Turtle punchkis, maple with bacon on the top. Mm. It was a lot. Real nice. And fresh strawberry ones with whipped cream in the middle and strawberries on top.
That sounds so good.
It's really good.
We've noticed in the past it seems to be a one-day event, but correct. The last year or two it's been like a week-long event.
Well, basically it's on Fat Tuesday. It's the day before Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everybody gorges on Tuesday because everyone gives up everything on, starts today, Ash Wednesday. You get your ashes and you figure out what you're going to do for the 47 days of give up stuff for Lent.
You already got your ashes.
Yes, I did. Went to mass this morning at 6:15.
Man, see, he's better. I tried to make 7:45 and didn't make it.
She tried.
It's okay.
We'll get a dispensation for you.
As you push the envelope, Ed, on the on all of those things, you said you had the punchies, you had the gourmet punchies. Did you ever consider? Have you tried it? Maybe in the R&D in the lab there, maybe doing like the shaved truffles or maybe like a lobster punchki, anything like that?
Perhaps. I mean, maybe in the near future we could do something like that.
Not your parents' punchki.
All right, take us through. The cannoli obviously started in Italy, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandfather came over here in 1905 and started the business, and I'm the fourth generation. And we currently have all the families in the business. My cousin Louis and his brother Victor, he's with the Armed Forces. Thank you for his services. Mm-hmm. His two sons, Victoria, works in the store at Elmhurst after hours, after he gets off of school. Danilo is in the bakery right now with Louis' other brother, Anthony, and they're working the bakery. They're in charge of the bakery side. And then you have Sal, who's on the truck, who's Anthony's twin brother.
Yeah.
And he's out on the sales, doing the delivering. And
it's truly a family
it's
operation.
All family. I mean, it's kind of a quick story. My cousin was out doing some sales with Anthony.
Yeah.
And at a local deli. And the guy's like, what's wrong with the other guy that's with you? He's like, why? He's like, I just saw him yesterday. Yeah. What was he doing? He's like, oh, no, that's his twin brother. Oh. Dad explains why he's not talking to me. His twin brother was here yesterday stacking the freezers.
So you got the hijinks on the twin side. So you mentioned the history, the generations for Leza here, and undisputed the absolute most revered version of the cannoli on the planet is what you guys have. But for people that don't know necessarily how the whole thing started, was it, prehistoric times? Was there like Giovanni Cannoli back in the day, and he had somehow he figured it out, and then boom, the cannoli was born? How did it all start in the beginning for cannolis?
Well, it was a Sicilian pastry. It's some people bake it, but most people fry it, and they fill it with ricotta cheese filling, and they garnish it with green nuts on the side. Ours aren't green nuts, but they're flavored pistachios. Mm-hmm. They're nut free, so anyone that has a nut allergy can eat them.
That's not a nut.
It's not a nut. It's flavored pistachio.
Tastes like a nut.
Did you think it was?
I did.
It's nice because people have an allergy.
I've seen people have these as an appetizer. I've seen people have them with their main course. I've seen people have them as a dessert.
Correct.
Just on
and we
their
also
own.
Sell a large cannoli, and it's filled with 40 mini cannolis. Oh, so what you do is you fill the middle.
Wow.
You
fill the middle. Appetite.
You fill the middle with cream, and everybody takes the little ones out. And then once the little ones are missing, then you break the big one and you dip it.
Oh, that sounds so tremendous.
Everything you'd know and love about a cannoli with the excitement, I think, of pinatas.
Correct. Right.
How has the art of making them changed? Your family's been doing this for four generations.
We used to do them by hand with a broomstick. And then we went.
That would be by broomstick.
The dough around the broomstick to hollow it out.
Right, right. No, it was already the dough. The dough was like a patty.
Oh, right. And you'd wrap it around.
And you put a little bit of egg to keep it closed, and you put it in the fryer.
And Ed, explain to people who are interested in stuff like cleanliness that this broom was only used for the making of cannolis.
Oh, exactly. 100%.
It wasn't
the one used in the warehouse to broom that they cut. not at all.
No, come on, Bill, because I think that goes along the lines of the, remember the American Indians where they used every part of everything?
Sure.
I think that's where you use that same broom.
Exactly.
So is the taste any different from generations ago?
It stays basically the same. We have our secret ingredient we put in it.
What is the secret ingredient?
Leza.
Exactly.
Right, the love of
if
the
I
family.
Told you, I'd have to tell.
Nobody wants trouble. And when you go to other restaurants and try theirs, can you tell the ingredients? Can you?
Oh, yeah,
just
right
instantly
away.
You know?
Little people overdo it with the wine.
Oh, really?
But, it's simple, allspice and cinnamon and secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Well, many times, I think, is it like 1,100 places around Chicago when Ed goes, if he tried it, he would know the difference because it is his, right?
Correct.
A lot of the ones that you're tasting at better restaurants are from Leza.
They say they're homemade, but that's fine. I mean, they're mine. You could say you made them in the back all you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
With a lot of foods, if people have them here as opposed to where they first emanated, like I've heard this about Chinese food, Japanese food, it tastes different when you're there. With the cannolis, if you eat one from Italy and you eat one from America, is there a dramatic difference?
A little bit of difference. Yeah. Most of our sit-down Italian-American restaurants that we service, they fill them fresh, so the cannoli is nice and fresh when it comes to the table.
Mm.
It's the best way. And some other people also do it. It's served frozen. You put it in a toaster oven, it comes out. It's the same way. But it's just, we have a new thing, too, that we're doing is we're giving them a cannoli pyramid that's underneath a glass shelf that they put out. It's fake cannolis, but it boosts the sales because people are like, hey, what's that? And they try and grab one
pyramid.
And eat it, but it's meringue.
I think it boosts
a
lot of other things.
Did Clark host a show called the Cannoli Pyramid in Italy for a number of years?
He did, right? The Egyptians did it.
They did it?
Dick Clark, right, before he came over here.
Right.
Yes, it was the Cannoli Pyramid.
Very popular show. Yeah.
And then also, too, is in the pyramid, doesn't it boost, is it your antioxidants or something, right?
Correct,
isn't it just the whole shape of a pyramid, I think, makes it even more healthy?
It's good for you.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Cannoli Day keeps the doctor away.
Yep, that's what they're saying. All right, we'll take a quick break and then find out more about cannolis and other food. Dane Neal is here from Access Appetite and the Dane Neal Show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder along with Dane Neal and Ed Leza. We're talking cannolis and other similar foods. There's a big event coming up that people need to know about.
Well, as Ed would say, every day is a big event when you can find yourself in the same room. I mean, maybe even at the same table with the greatest cannolis of all time.
Yep.
And but they're not ignoring some of the biggest traditional days like Punchki Day, 5,000 Punchkis yesterday. But moving on, and I think, St. Patrick's Day is such a big deal here in the Chicagoland area. So many connections. You dye the river green. You've got the Southside Parade and, of course, the main regular parade. But the third biggest, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, the third biggest parade in Illinois happens every year in Elmhurst, Illinois, and it's actually coming up this Saturday.
The third biggest St. Patrick's Day parade or parade in general?
Well, third St. Patrick's Day.
Third biggest St. Patrick's Day parade is coming up. All right, so what do we need to know about this?
Well, it's coming up in Elmhurst. Now, talk a little bit about the parade route.
Yeah,
I know 40,000 people, and you guys will be front and center.
Yeah, it's right on Spring Road. It starts on the far south side of Spring Road, and it goes north on Spring Road to York High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at 12 noon promptly, and it goes on for about 3 hours. And there's all kinds of different floats. You know, you got the traditional Shriners, different politicians. And the big thing is it's really for the kids. The kids get candy. I was telling Dane earlier to get their long sticks, and they stick their bags out there, and everyone fills the candy.
Oh,
up.
Nice.
It's a really cool event, and it's very, very, very big-time family.
Yeah.
And they're expecting beautiful weather on Saturday, so it should be good. And you could also come into Bellwood, get a nice hot chocolate or, some cannolis or some punchkis. And we're also starting out with Zapoli, St. Joseph's Day is coming up March 17th.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I apologize,
March 19th. You have to wear red.
March 19th, we have to wear red. And we have a local magazine that's specializing with my godson nephew on the front cover.
Oh, look at that.
With the Zeppelin in front of my godson nephew, Joseph. This is Tina Valentina's magazine called Neighbors.
Yeah.
And she's pushing the Zeppelin for us.
So as we kind of like get this little team photo of great kind of sweet and pastry style snacks that we have for these holidays. So what's the story on the Zeppelin? I know that
Zeppelin's what it is it's called a St. Joseph cake. And to my recollection, it was made in honor of St. Joseph's because the Italians, it started in Italy, and they wanted to thank St. Joseph for the they
had just a being famine. A great guy.
Well, right. He brought us aspirin, patron saint of aspirin.
It was pain relief, patron saint of pain relief.
Supposedly there was a famine over there, and they prayed that they would get food, and that's why they would make all this food and more basically fish.
Oh yeah,
because that's what everyone's known for. They bring all these fish dishes, and everyone has their St. Joseph's table on March 19th. You know, people come in and donate, and they try out everyone's food.
Oh, that
food.
Sounds
but
so good.
Zeppelin's the main thing. You know, it's a regular French cruller donut,
yeah.
Cut in half. Stuffed with custard, and you know, put little dollops on top
goodness.
With strawberry with the cherries. We do quite a few of those, just as punchkes. It's probably do about 5,000
so
of them. People put them on their center dishes on their St. Joseph's table.
Yeah,
I think people put them on their mantles, right, and leave it up there, or maybe include it into your family picture, right? Because
right.
It's beautiful. You guys are known so well for the cannoli, but you do all of these other treats, and you've got the gelato and the spumoni. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the coolest things is, you know, we can all say, hey, it's the best, and certainly it is recognized, and a lot of people share that opinion. But you've had some pretty famous people love the cannoli.
Mm-hmm.
In one particular, Frank Sinatra, who was known to love things that he loved and mm-hmm. And go out there and get them, like Rita Hayworth, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He would stop at the shop in Bellwood on his way to the airport and get some cannolis before I left.
Would people go nuts when Frank Sinatra would come in? They must
have
gone
crazy.
Well,
I mean, that was back in the day when, Blue Eyes wasn't, you know, he was very popular, but I mean,
not a huge megastar.
They saw him as just a regular customer,
right.
You know?
I guess.
I can't imagine anything about Frank Sinatra being regular. So could he roll up in the limo? Would he like, hey, give me, would he just bark out some orders, or would he have, you know, one of his, people? I'm sure he had a group of people around
sure.
him. And all. He wasn't just on a motorcycle.
I wasn't alive when that was happening, but yeah. I'm sure he came, you know, either sent someone or himself came.
Yeah.
Like, got out of the car and
right.
came and picked them out and
correct.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd send Peter Lawford in. I'm not going in. Cold outside. Lawford, you go get the
Peter
cannolis.
Lawford, there you go. There you go.
Wow, that's so exciting. Now, we were talking yesterday, the Swedish bakery in Andersonville mm-hmm. is closing down. They
correct.
Say clientele has changed, that people don't just want to spend time at a bakery anymore. But that's not always the case. I love going to bakeries.
I mean, the whole thing is that .com thing. Everyone's doing everything online and ordering stuff. I mean, that's a whole other business. I mean, but we're traditional. It'll keep going.
But that's where the tradition comes from. My grandmother would always get like a coffee cake or something in case one of her sisters would come visit on
correct.
A Sunday. We always went to the bakery and would get things. And I don't know if younger people think to go to a bakery, but they should.
They do. I agree. It's like a tradition, and it's cool. It's a cool tradition to keep doing. I mean, there's other bakeries that have closed this year too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just nothing lasts forever, unfortunately. You know, but
except,
we will.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Look at that.
Here's one of the things, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Wendy, because as they've had that traditional bakery for so many years, it was just, I don't know, maybe it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, you guys did try to, and this is something that you used to talk about bakeries closing, you guys opened up that place in Elmhurst and tried to make it everything that you would know and love about a traditional place, but with extra things in there. You know, you've got a lot of the different coffees, the desserts. You've even got that tasting room for people if they're going to plan like their event or wedding
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it has turned out to be like very popular. So it was
yes.
risky, but it's working out.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's one of the meeting places in Elmhurst. I mean, people have their meetings there. We have wine and painting parties. We had a shower in there last
those.
Weekend. Shower, a baby shower in there
really?
Last weekend. My cousin threw his wife's 50th birthday party in there.
In the bakery.
In the bakery.
Oh, that's excellent.
Room. It's nice. It's really nice.
You know, when you go in, you always have those display cases with cakes and candy and
mm-hmm.
cookies and donuts and stuff. And to me, that's better than a jewelry shop. I could just look inside those display cases.
What if it's a revolving case?
Oh, that's what heaven looks like. I
nice.
Love that.
Nice. Nice.
So a little slice of heaven out there in Elmhurst, if you want to give the address and then what I
yeah.
guess people got to get there early on Saturday for the parade.
Right, yeah. Our address is 544 South Spring Road. And the phone number is really cool because it's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's 630-530-0630.
Oh, all right.
It's easy to remember. And we have a little special going on. if you come in and buy one of our gelatos in a pint form, you can get two free.
Oh, that's the deal of the century.
It's dangerous.
Really quickly, give me a flavor or two, the most exotic flavors of the gelatos that you're
The
carrying.
Four we have in pint form is vanilla, hazelnut, pistachio, and chocolate.
All delicious.
But we have them also in scoop. You can get them to go. We have anything from coconut, sea salted caramel.
You're going
all,
there, aren't you?
All kinds of stuff. That you name it, we got it.
Really? Oh, that sounds good.
We got about 25 different flavors.
Best cannoli I've had maybe ever, because a lot of times a cannoli is too sweet for me. This has got, it's not too sweet.
Thanks, Wendy.
Really
Thank
delicious.
That. Thank you.
As sweet as you are, Ed, it's not reflective
right?
of
He's
your,
a sweet
yeah,
guy.
Very sweet
Thanks.
Man. Dane, really quick, you have a new show premiering on WGN very, very soon on weekends, correct?
Well, it's not necessarily very, very, well, it depends on, I guess, the definition of very, very soon. So it's not like later on today.
Within the next few minutes.
In fact, it started a while ago. I got
to
get to it.
You have to hurry.
No, it's coming up on the 18th of March. It's called On the Road with Dane, and it's going to be a little bit like motorsports, a little motorsports lifestyle, a little travel, a little fun, family, certainly. There's some food in there, so we're going to have some
singing
of
and dancing.
There'll be some entertainment based, you know, whether it's juggling or fire eating, sword swallowing. We're going to have all of those things, kind of tapping into people who know and love cars, and then also that tech side, you know, for the moms, and then all the food and travel, road trips, things that families do on a regular
basis.
How
fun is that?
It's going to be nice. March 18th is the premiere episode.
Yep, and then the next one, well, you know, if all goes well, will be the next Saturday, 2 till 4.
All right, very, very good.
Good luck on that next one.
Thanks, Wendy.
You'll be great.
We can't wait to see it and hear it. I guess hear it. Watching the radio won't be as exciting, but we'll listen to it. Ed, great to see you again.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks so much.
Wendy.
We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.